Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us a chance to gather together today. Thank you for blessing our lives in so many different ways, and especially right now with giving us a relationship with you, with giving us a chance to study your word and to consider how we honor and praise you in our songs. Father, I pray that you'd be with me as I teach these scriptures and these songs. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to grow in our worship, to grow in our how we focus and understand what it is we're singing. We love you. We thank you so much for blessing us again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the scriptures and the songs we sing. And I have to go to the right slide. See, I'm doing slides on my laptop here today, too, so this is an experiment to see if I can keep the slides on my laptop synchronized with the ones you're looking at. All right, so we will take one moment to get this on the correct slide, and we'll go. All right, so again, this is the final week in the series. We've been looking at scriptures and various songs that we sing, as the title suggests. And we've been looking at the scriptures behind those songs. The reason for doing that, of course, is that we want to understand what it is that we're singing. You know, it really matters that we understand what we sing. And so in week one, I did an introduction. We talked about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, three different types of songs. And, of course, there's overlap in those. We'll talk about one song that spans all three of those today. We talk about worship in week two. Richard talked about that, about songs in awe of God, talked specifically about the song Holy, Holy, Holy. We've done hallelujah songs, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Week four, we did sacrifice, folks on several songs, including the Lamb of God. Okay, obviously a very meaningful song. We need to understand what it is that we're singing about. Where does that phrase come from and what does it mean? Judgment Day. And on Judgment Day, after talking about all this stuff about judgment, the upside and the downside of judgment, if you want to look at it that way, and he ended up pointing out the song, Lo, What a Glorious Sight Appears. There's a lot to look forward to about Judgment Day for a Christian, amen, right? And then we talked about hope in adversity, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And, a song that came from a very dismal time, from a very depressing and perhaps even frustrating time for the prophet Jeremiah, who was trying to turn the Jews back to God and not having much positive response. Week seven, we talked about heaven and the New Jerusalem, and again, several songs, one of which was, Lo, What a Glorious Sight Appears. Obviously, again, the upside of judgment is also heaven, so some overlap there. But a great, some great songs, other songs also. We talked in week eight about the names of God, and basically the song Jesus, Name Above All Names. Basically there's lots of names in the scriptures about God that basically the names mean something. They, basically his attributes, names that call out one of God's attributes. And of course, Jesus is the Savior, is the attribute that's called out there. Week nine, we talked about singing in the Christian life. And one of those songs was Stand Up for Jesus. Okay, I hope we've been doing that this week. Have you been standing up for Jesus this week? Something we sang about last week, so I hope that we are applying what we're saying publicly to God in our lives, right? And so now I want to refocus us on the scripture we started from in the series. Ephesians 5:19 says, Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And we talked about the definition of each of those types. Psalms, of course, the simple definition is songs based on the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms was the songbook of the Old Testament church. The Old Testament Jews, it was also the songbook of the New Testament church in the first century. Those were the songs that the Jews knew. And that was a major part. But today, there's a third category. Psalms, there's hymns. Hymns are songs of praise, in particular in the church, of course, praise of God. And then there's spiritual songs, which are songs on spiritual topics based on the Bible. They have, they have some connection to the teaching of the Bible. And so they're just songs that Christians make up, okay? So you can write a song. And I invite you to do that. Write a song and then sing it in your quiet times. Sing it to your family. And who knows, publish it. you know, but that's entirely okay. And we're going to talk about some spiritual songs today. Spiritual songs are songs with a biblical spiritual message, but we're not talking about a musical style here. You know, there's a musical style we call spirituals, right? Everybody knows about that. And that's really talking about African-American spiritual songs, all right? They're spiritual songs. You know, in large part, they're on a Christian theme, sometimes not, but the ones we sing are, of course. Those songs, you know, some of the style often includes call and response, where the song leader says a line and then the congregation responds, and then he says another line and the congregation responds. A lot of times there's clapping involved, okay? That's a characteristic that is very common. And a lot of times there's repetition, okay? We'll see some of that. There's repetition. But, you know, the idea of call and response and repetition in particular, and clapping probably too, were not invented with African-American spiritual songs. Those things, we'll do one at the end that's a call and response that has repetition and, who knows, maybe clapping, comes all the way back to the Book of Psalms. Okay. So African-American spiritual songs, though, they would a lot of times they focused around certain kinds of messages like freedom, redemption, heaven, hope of something better in the future. And you know, often those songs have a dual meaning, you know, connecting back to a time of slavery. So, you know, obviously, you know, very deep, meaningful things for a lot of us and hopefully all of us. You know, but beyond that, you know, today we sing them in church because of their Christian message, right? Because, you know, sort of coming out of slavery was in the case of the Jews, was symbolic of what was happening with Jesus, right? And so when we sing these things, we're thinking about our redemption of our souls and eternal life. Okay? So we're going to look at two African-American spirituals and one other spiritual song from the Book of Psalms. Today, three spiritual songs. First one we're going to look at is Amen. You're right. Amen. We're going to look at Amen. We're going to look at Wade in the Water. And we're going to look at His Love Endures Forever. Okay? Three spiritual songs. Okay? First one is Amen. The song with one word. You know, I talked about 7-Eleven songs in the first class. That's a song that has seven words that you repeat 11 times. In this song, you might call it a 140 song, right? Because it's one word and you repeat it 40 times. Or I didn't count, but you know, I'm not suggesting that you do. But Amen, Amen, Amen. What does that mean? Amen means so be it. I agree with that. Let that be so. You emphatically agree. But what are you agreeing with? Okay. You're agreeing with something. This is call and response. So the guy up top, the song leader, is saying something, and you're saying amen to what he's saying. I mean, of course, the song starts out, you're saying amen before you said anything, right? Okay? Because you kind of know what's coming, right? One of the characteristics of these songs is, you know, you may get a little phrase here and a little phrase there, and you're sort of expected to know the story behind the phrase. So you're not just saying amen to that phrase, you're saying amen about the story behind that phrase, right? So there's an assumption that you understand it. And in this case, it's a very familiar story. So, you know, the first line, you know, see the little baby lying in the manger early in the morning. So there's no ambiguity, no confusion about what that's talking about. For those who like to take notes, Luke 7:2, verse 7b says, you know, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, this was Jesus being born. Everybody knows that, okay? The next thing, see him in the temple, talking to the elders, how they marveled at his wisdom. Everybody familiar with that, right? Again, talking about Jesus as a young boy, going to the temple and talking with the elders. In Luke 2, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And so, you know, again, Jesus being, you know, pretty remarkable at a pretty young age, you know. And, you know, one of the things we can take from that is sure would like our kids to be able to carry on a intelligent conversation about biblical things with an adult, right? Okay, you know, follow the example of Jesus, right? Okay, so the next verse, see him at the seaside preaching and a healing to the blind and the feeble. You know, there's a lot of examples you could call for that. I just went through Matthew 9 and Luke 8, where there's a whole series of healings that take place. And he had just got through crossing the sea, so these are near the sea. But he healed a paralytic, he healed Jairus' daughter, he healed two blind men, a bleeding woman. You know, the point is that he was going around healing a lot of people. And so when you're saying amen, what you're saying is, I believe that's, that really happened. That's what you're saying. He really did those things, and nobody else could do that. That was, that's a remarkable story. Okay. The next verse, you know, see him in the garden, praying to his father in deepest sorrow. We all know about that, right? Okay, this is the, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, praying before he goes to the cross. Just a heart-wrenching time for Jesus. Matthew 26, I mean, this is recorded in all Gospels, says, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Okay. So, and then we have, he was arrested. You know, see him there with Pilate. Pilate gave a choice, but they wanted Barabbas. Obviously, I mean, that's just a phrase, right? What you're saying when you sing that is that you agree with that. Okay. That it's true. And despite the fact that it was a, there was a very wrong thing happening here, we're saying amen because that was God's plan. God's, it was a, and that, that one part of God's plan has evil all intertwined in it. But it wasn't God who was evil. It was the people who were evil. But God went through it, endured it. Jesus went through it, endured it, rather than putting a stop to it. Right? And that's what, when I sing it, that's what I'm saying amen to. It's just the remarkable love that God had to put up with that evil. Okay? So, I mean, a big part of what I'm trying to get across here is, what are we saying amen about? What are we singing about? What are we responding to? And, there, you know, there's a meaning there. There's a very deep meaning. This is not a superficial song. I hope you're not just saying amen, amen, clapping your hands because you like the tune. Okay? I mean, there's a lot more here than the tune. And then, you know, this is a cool song or something. So that's, so, but basically, again, Matthew 27, verse 17, when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one of you do you want me to release to you? Which one do you want me to release to you, Barnabas, Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called Christ? So obviously, very biblical verse. And then the last one, you know, see him bear the cross now up to Calvary where they crucified my Lord. And you know, we all know that. I mean, that's the core of the gospel, right? He was crucified. And then the next verse, see the empty tomb. You know, Christ has arisen and he lives with us today. I mean, when you're saying amen in this song, that's what you're headed towards in the whole thing. From the very beginning all the way up to the end, you're heading to this conclusion. Because you know all these things before you. That's why you can sing amen before the guy's ever said anything, the song leader, right? Because you know where this is headed. Yeah. You know this is about Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, when you go to the, obviously in Luke 24, verses 2 and 3 talks about they found an empty tomb, right? And, you know, this is a song about the core gospel message. It's the, you know, the very foundation of it. In Acts 4, it talks about, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That is the fundamental fact of the Christian doctrine. That is the one thing that, if you're a Christian, you've bet your life on that. And there are people, there are plenty of people in the world who think that's crazy. Okay? Too many people in the world who think that's crazy. But, you know, we've got to be bold about, obviously, that's the message. And, you know, if you go through the book of Acts, they talk about, you know, that Jesus died for our sins, he rose from the dead. You know, he rose from the dead was, look at every sermon, every person converted in the book of Acts. He rose from the dead. That was the fundamental thing. If you believed that, then everything else he said carried weight, and you're going to give your life to that. So you can't go around saying, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, and not turn over your life to it. I mean, think about it. Yeah, he rose from the dead. He said, this is what you need to do. You know, that was the proof that God gave. So when we sing this song, we're proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Okay, a great song. Okay, we're on schedule here. Let's go into Wade in the Water. Wade in the Water is a little different song. You know, it's a call and response. It's a African American spiritual. But So we'll just go through this and talk about it. You know, wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's going to trouble the water. That's our part. Everybody knows our part, right? Okay. I wonder how many of us know the other parts, you know, but we know that part. Do you know where that comes from in the scriptures? Do you know where that comes from? Do you know what it means? Okay, why do you sing it? Well, it's in John chapter 5. I'm going to read this. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And it says here, I'm reading from NIV here. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool, after each such disturbance, would be cured of whatever disease he had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. You know, the message of this, you know, I've heard Bible talks and studies about this, you know, talking about, you know, what was wrong with this man that he, you know, he's making excuses or whatever. I don't think that's the message of this, it's not a parable, this is a real life event. I think the message of this event was Jesus' compassion and Jesus' power to heal. Amen. Okay, that Jesus was from God, he saw this man, and he had pity on him. Okay, maybe the man didn't deserve that pity. Maybe he did. Maybe he was, you know, entirely justified in saying, you know, this is not fair, I can't get in there. But the point is that Jesus didn't hold that against him. He didn't let that cause him not to heal. But Jesus did something remarkable. But now, let's take a look. I just read the passage in the NIV. Let's look at it in the King James Version, verse 4, just particularly verse 4. Actually, let's back up to that previous slide for a minute, Sherry. I should have said a few things here. I don't know if you noticed, if you're reading along in your Bible, the last half of verse 3 and verse 4 might be marked as with some different kinds of markings. Do y'all see that? If you go back to the Greek text that have, you know, that we have that, you know, are used to translate the Bible, quite a few of them don't have that. And so there is question, and some of the ones that do have that have it in different forms. Sometimes it's a note on the margin. Sometimes it's, the wording's different. And so there, you know, biblical scholars are not sure whether that was part of the original or not. Okay? So we don't know. Okay? But that's the point. Let's look at it in the King James, because the King James, it was there in the King James, and it was not marked in any special way in the King James, because it was in all their Greek texts they had at the time. John 5, verse 4 says, "For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water." That's where the name of the song comes from, okay, in King James. "Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had, whatsoever disease he had." So that's where the title of the song comes from. But it comes from the middle of that verse that might be inspired by God, might be scripture, it might not be, okay? So the question is, was verse 4 in the original? We don't know. Some people believe that this whole thing about going down in the water and getting healed was a superstition. Okay, some people who believe everything in the Bible, believe God does miracles, but they wonder, was this something that was added later? Did God really make that kind of a promise to these people? We don't see it in Scripture anywhere. Okay, but you know, if this verse is in the Bible, then you know. So I bring that up just. If one thing to explain the funny markings in your Bible on that verse, but for the other part is again the issue is not the part we aren't sure about. The issue is we do know this. John 5 verse 8 and 9. Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was healed. Jesus healed this man. Jesus did a great miracle, and that's the point of this story. Okay? But what we're singing when we sing this song is about wading in the water. So what are we saying? You know, to me, when I sing this song, I'm just telling you what I, the mental, you know, what do I do in my mind to make this a meaningful song when I sing it? Given all that uncertainty and all that other, I don't really know about this. The message is, go ahead, wade in the water, metaphorically. In other words, take a step of faith. Do something believing God's going to do something. You know, God's going to do something. God is still doing stuff, okay? God acts in people's lives. Have faith that when you do the right thing, God's going to take care of you. You know, all the scriptures about promises of God. So when I sing, wade in the water, God's going to trouble the water, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, go ahead and do something. Step of faith, knowing that God is going to act. Okay. So let's go through some of the verses here of wade in the water. That says, now see those people dressed in red? God's going to trouble the water. They look like people that Moses led. God's going to trouble the water. You know where that comes from? It's not in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about Moses, people following Moses dressed in red. Okay? It's not there. So what is it? It rhymes. You know, that's what that verse has going for it. It rhymes. So when I sing that verse, if I sing that verse, I'm singing, wade in the water, God's going to trouble the water. Don't worry about that stuff. Just, you know, have faith in God. He's going to do something great in your life. Okay? So I don't worry about that red stuff, you know. I mean, if you're singing that verse thinking, it's probably in there somewhere. If you find it, let me know. But I looked really hard and I didn't find it. All right? Okay? We got another verse like that. Now see those people dressed in gold? God's going to trouble the water. They look like disciples of Christ, I'm told. God's going to trouble the water. Where does that come from? You know. It's not, you're right, it's not in the Bible, right? You do a search, you know, search for gold, it's not there. It rhymes. You know, it's got that going for it. Okay? So, you know, I just kind of ignore the verse, the parts in between that really aren't there, you know. But I sing that song, I think God's going to trouble the water. God's going to take care of things. God's going to do something. I don't know what, but it's going to be great. Okay? That's what I think when I sing that song. Okay? Now, another verse. Now, if you don't believe that I've been redeemed, God's going to trouble the water, then follow me down to Jordan's stream. God's going to trouble the water. So what's that about? Okay? I mean, it's a little interesting. Obviously, the Jordan River, that's where Jesus baptized, where he was baptized, or his disciples baptized, where John the Baptist baptized. You might say also where Naaman dipped to get healed of his leprosy. But this is talking about being redeemed, so I think it's really talking about Jesus and John the Baptist. So it's an allusion to being redeemed and being baptized, right? But what is it saying? Is it saying, okay, if you don't believe I've been redeemed, then let's go to the water and baptize me again so you'll believe it? I mean, is that what it's saying? I don't think so. That certainly wouldn't be biblical, would it? So this is another one that you just can't think too hard about, you know. But the bottom line is, let me remind you that I was baptized, that I repented of my sins, and I'm doing everything in my, you know, power to follow the instructions of God. Okay? So, but again, it's like God's going to trouble the water, okay? And it's, you can think of it as an invitation to be baptized, you know. But anyway, it's a little bit squirrely, the wording of it. You can't think about it too hard on this one. What I do is you just say God's going to do something here. God will take care of this. All right. All right. Another verse, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, God's going to trouble the water. Okay, through faith into the fiery furnace I go, God's going to trouble the water. All right, now you know what this is about. Okay, it's in Daniel 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a couple of excerpts. Here's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, starting in verses 7. This is verses 17 and 18, chapter 3, 17 and 18. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I mean, imagine that. Imagine yourself being in that state where they're getting ready to throw you into a furnace. And you're going to stand there before the king who, at his will, you can say, throw him in the furnace or not. And you're going to more or less be defiant towards the king. And he's going to throw you in the fire. So, the verse says, like those guys, I have faith just like that. Can you sing that? How much downside has to be there before you shrink back? Do you tell your boss at work, I've got to be at church on Thursday night? Or do you shrink back? Think about it. These guys wouldn't bow down to somebody else at the risk of being thrown into the fire. And they were thrown into the fire. Will you talk to your boss about whether you need to be at church on midweek? Just something to think about. You're going to sing this verse. Well, this is not on our list today. But when you sing this verse, you need to be feeling convicted. I've got to have faith. That's what faith looks like. Okay? All right. So the next verse, like David slew Goliath with just one shot, God's going to trouble the water. My faith in the Lord is fiery hot. God's going to trouble the water. And you know the story here too, right? Goliath, 9 feet tall. The whole army of Israel was terrified. But David grabbed those 5 smooth stones and went out there and took him on through the stones, right? A little boy. Not only about a little boy. He's probably a teenager, I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe preteen. But he goes out there and does that. More courage, more faith than the whole army of Israel. Okay. Again, how much of an obstacle has to be presented to you before you're more like the Israelite army than you are like David? Talk is cheap. It's easy to sing this verse. Okay. It ought to convict the socks off of us. We need to be like David. I encourage you to be like David, okay? So we won't read the account, but that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a great story, and it's not a children's story, by the way. That is not something to be relegated to children's class. Okay? All right. So now we're going to move on to the third song. We're still on schedule. This is great. Okay? His love endures forever. Okay, in Psalms 136, I'm actually going to read the whole thing here. But this is another spiritual song. It's a call and response. You'll recognize that. Starting in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Okay? I'm going to continue. And as I continue, you guys respond with his love endures forever. Okay? All right? Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt
his love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them
his love
with a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
His love
to him who divided the Red Sea asunder
his love
and brought Israel through the midst of it,
his love
but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love
to him who led his people through the desert. Who struck down great kings
his love endures
and killed mighty kings.
His love
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His love
and Og, king of Bashan.
His love
and gave their land as an inheritance.
His love
an inheritance to his servant Israel.
His love
to the one who remembered us in our low estate. And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Amen. All right. So that was call and response, okay? But, you know, there's a lot of different phrases thrown out there in the part that I read, which, so I'd ask you, do you know about all those stories? You remember that King Og? You know, some of you are nodding. That's a good thing. I would encourage you to go back through here and just do a little Bible study. Make sure you understand all of these situations. What's he praying about? I mean, what's he singing about? You know, the point here is God's done some amazing things. So as we're singing this, and he did them because of his love for his people. Okay? So as we do that, we go back and read about what he did with Og. I mean, he killed some mighty kings. I mean, does that sound like a very, you know, is that what you're thinking? You know, the point is he did that because of his love for his people. Okay, and how those kings were treating his people. So, you know, you need to go back and understand those stories so you'll really know what you're singing about. Okay, but you know, this is a great song. This song was actually sung by, at least a couple of cases in the Old Testament, we actually read about events where this song was sung, apparently. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, the ark is coming back to Jerusalem. David's bringing it back, and there's this big celebration going on. And in 1 Chronicles 16:41, let's see if I've got, I guess that's what I'll read. So it says, you know, with them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest of those chosen and designated by the name, to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Heman and Jeduthun were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and cymbals and for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were stationed at the gate. So here we have basically the, you know, you could say Melvin and Peter, right? You know, the band leader and the singing leader, right? But these were the people who were responsible for doing this to celebrate, to praise God, right? And they sang this song at a point in time when they were celebrating the bringing back of the ark to Jerusalem, a monumental thing, you know, a place where it stayed for 500 years or so, and where it was, you know, the symbol that God was with them, okay? But there's another example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here we have, we'll be talking about Jehoshaphat, okay? And what happened here was God had defeated the Moabites and the Ammonites on behalf of Jehoshaphat, okay? And so at the end of that, again, they're going to celebrate a great victory by singing this song. Okay. So in 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 21, it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and they were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So here the song's coming. They're like celebrating because God's with them, but they're also, you know, calling out to God, and God is responding by taking care of that situation. So, again, you know, this is a song that we're gonna sing this song. It's going to be the opening song today. And, you know, our version of that song that we're all familiar with, you know, it starts out with the guys going dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum, you know, right? I got in my e-sword and I searched. I couldn't find dum-de-dum anywhere. So today we're going to sing it without that, okay? The band's going to do that part. So just a hint to y'all. I know some people are coming in who are teaching who might not know that. But we're not singing dum-de-dum today. We're going to sing, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, right? So, amen. So we have been talking for the last few weeks about the scriptures and the songs we sing. And the reason we've been doing that is to help us to worship God better. Help us to be moved more by the singing. Not just to be, in, you know, sort of psyched up or just, you know, pepped up by the rhythm and the tune and then we like the song, but to say something meaningful that gets to our soul. You know, something meaningful that gets to God, where God looks at what's going on in your heart and is pleased when you're singing. Okay? And that's what we want. We want you, as when we sing to God, let's make sure that our minds are engaged, that we are on board, we are present. You know, that our soul is present and it's singing, you know, and that you know, our singing's been part of worshiping God for thousands of years. We went back at the beginning, you know, we showed songs all the way back to the crossing of the Red Sea in the Bible, okay, in the first week. Our songs, you know, these songs talk about things God has done. They talk about things God has promised. They talk about things God has called on us to do. You know, these songs give glory to God. They do God's work. They communicate His word. So when we sing these songs, let's be sure that we sing them like we mean it. Okay? So that is the series. Next week, we will begin a series, what we're calling a shepherding talks. 2 weeks. Yeah, that's right. Next week is 4th of July weekend. So it'd be two weeks out, we will have a class on, actually Steve Galbraith will start it up on shepherding. Please be sure to be present. These are important. These are things that deal with important issues that are going to help our congregation to become more healthy. Help us to bring one another into the kingdom of God and into heaven one day. So we're about to break up. So I want some instructions about that. Please, when we break up, please go get your kids and be back promptly. When you hear the music, come to your seats. We will begin singing immediately when the music stops. So please come to your seats and finish your fellowship when you hear the music. That's your signal to come to your seats. So you're dismissed. Please go get your kids.